So he says, you've known the Holy Scriptures. They give you wisdom, but it's a wisdom that leads you to salvation because you have faith in Christ Jesus. Now, notice that the faith is in Christ Jesus. It's not in man. It's not in a church. Your faith is not in the Bible, though we do believe the Bible to be God's word. Our faith is in the God of the Bible.
If you're a Christian, you believe that your only hope of salvation is Jesus. You've given your sins to Him and allowed His sacrifice to wipe your slate clean. You believe that the Bible is God's Word, but you don't put your hope of salvation in the Bible. Pastor John reminds you in his message today that this is an important distinction to make. You need to believe the truth of the Bible, but you aren't putting your faith in this book to be enough for you. It simply contains the answer. It tells you all about Jesus. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 as he continues his message, How to Stand in the Last Days.
The question is if you're not being persecuted in any way, any shape, any form, at any time. Now, that doesn't mean you're always going to be persecuted to the strongest degree and constantly. It's kind of ebb and flow, and persecution is going to take different forms. But in some shape, some fashion, some way, if you're living godly, you're going to suffer persecution. So you have to say, well, if I'm not being persecuted for anything, at any time, any way, for my faith in Jesus Christ, then maybe I'm not living a godly life. The story is told of John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, that he was riding his horse one day and he was concerned because he hadn't had anything thrown at him or anybody shoot at him or yell at him. He hadn't had any persecution for a while. And he was on his horse kind of ready, and he got off his horse and he knelt down in the English countryside. And he knelt down to pray, and some ruffian on the other side of a hedge saw Wesley praying on the other side, knew it was the preacher, and he picked up a big brick and he threw it over the hedge, and it just missed Wesley by inches and landed on the ground right next to him. And when he saw that brick just miss him by inches landing on the ground, he said, oh, thank God, it is still well with my soul. He was like concerned, like nobody's thrown a brick at me for a while. What's going on? Maybe I'm not living a godly life. So it is the mark of a godly life that you will suffer persecution. Now, the reason that we suffer persecution is in verse 13. And the but there is actually more of a reason to verse 12. Evil men and seducers, and the word is imposters, we actually get our word sorcerers from that, shall wax worse and worse. They will be deceiving, and they will be deceived. Now, that takes us back again to the earlier verses in verse 2 to verse 9, where he's talking about the perilous times and the false teachers and the Jannies and Jambres and those who turn away from the faith. So one of the reasons why, as time goes on in these last days, that we're going to face great persecution, great opposition, is that evil men, they will wax worse and worse. The idea is that they'll progress farther in their hostility toward God and in their animosity toward Christians and their persecution of people who live for Christ. Now, as we look at these first few verses, verse 10 to 13, let me just kind of recap some of the marks of the true servant that we should follow. They teach true doctrine. Make sure you know what they believe. Sometimes I'll have people ask me about something and go, well, you know, do you understand what they teach? Do you understand? No, I don't really know. Well, you better know. And you know that we actually, it's been on the website now for a long time, our website here at Revival, we have a very, very detailed doctrinal statement about what we believe. Now, we're not saying you have to hold all those same doctrines, but I believe that they're biblical. I believe that's orthodox. You should look at it and read it and say, this is what we believe. This is what we believe about God and Jesus and the Bible and the Holy Spirit and about the work of the Spirit today and about what's going on in the church. You know, you come to church and you hear the word, but do you really know what we believe and why? So follow those that are true teachers of the word. And then secondly, they practice what they preach. Again, in verse 10, you know my manner of living. So you know my doctrine and you know my manner of living. And then thirdly, their purpose, and again, we saw that in verse 10, is to glorify God. You want to follow somebody, you want to make them your heroes, and you can make your hero somebody in a book. Read great Christian biography. Read about men and women that were used mightily by God, and let it kind of influence your life and your thinking. But they lived for the glory of God. And then fourthly, they were willing to suffer for the sake of Christ, verses 11 and 12. So be careful who you follow and be careful who you listen to. Now the next section here is verse 14 to 17. Let's read it. The thing that we need to do now is we need to be faithful to the Scriptures. We need to follow faithful servants and we need to be faithful to the Word of God. Our allegiance ultimately is to God and His Word. Verse 14 to 17. He says, but continue thou. Now here's the second personal emphatic statement Paul makes. It makes the first in verse 10, but thou. Then he comes to verse 14, but continue thou. Again, it's emphatic and it's personal. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That from a child you have known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, and that statement man of God there is a general statement about Christians. It's not just talking about a minister, even though it's a pastoral epistle. He's talking about the person of God, the individual that is a believer following God, that they may be perfect or complete, thoroughly equipped unto all good works. So the second thing we need to do in these last days, and this is so very, very important. The only way that we can combat the devil's lies in these last days is with what? God's Word. Amen. If you're going to combat Satan's lies, you have to have God's truth. So he says, you know what you have learned, the things which thou hast learned and have been assured of. So two things, you learn them and you're sure of them. There's a difference. One is knowledge, the other is absolute assurance or conviction. I've noticed over the years as I continue to study the Bible that it goes from knowledge to conviction. It goes from head knowledge information. When I was young and just starting to preach and study the Bible, I would kind of learn something brand new that week and it would go from my head to the people. But it's taken years of life experience for me to say, this is something that is now a conviction of mine. That's why sometimes I get real animate about certain things, because I believe that not only does the Bible teach that, but I've learned to, by experience, that it's true in my own life. And I've come to have deep convictions about certain subjects and certain things. So Paul tells Timothy, you learned these things and you've been assured of knowing them, of whom thou hast learned them. And we can't be sure about who the whom is there that he'd learned, but obviously he learned them from his mom. He learned them from his grandmother. Remember in the first epistle to Timothy that you had a godly mother and a godly grandmother. And now he tells him that he's learned the Scriptures from the time he was a child in verse 15. So in context, I believe it involves three individuals. It involves his grandmother. God bless you Christian grandmothers. And mothers. God bless Christian mothers. The impact that you can have on the kingdom of God. Think about that. You have the ability to raise children to serve God, raise children to lead others to Christ, raise men and women that will live for God, become missionaries and pastors and church workers and servants and whatever God calls them to be. So when Timothy was young and growing up, his grandmother read him Bible stories, and his mother read him Bible stories. And again, it's so important if you're a parent, you start early reading and teaching and training your children. Don't wait for them to get older and go to Sunday school and to learn from other sources. Get a good book for young children. Get Kenneth Taylor's. It's called the New Kenneth Taylor Bible and Picture for Little Eyes. But there's other good books for toddlers and Bible stories. And you start very young and you start instilling the Word of God in their heart. That's what happened to Timothy. The reason why Timothy was such an amazing man of God was because his mother and grandmother molded him and shaped him and had a great influence on his life. So you learn them. And then the third person in verse 14, whom thou hast learned them, is Paul the Apostle. Thank God for men of God who teach the Word of God so that we can grow and mature and be built up and be edified. I thank God for the men in my life that have taught me God's Word. I thank God for the men that have influenced me and the books that I read and the individuals that have influenced me in God's Word and sound doctrine. So you need to have that same influence in your life. He says, continue in it. And that's what we do in these last days. Because perilous times shall be upon us, because false teachers will come, we need to continue in God's Word. Now, next Wednesday night, we're going to look at what I consider to be my life verse, and that's chapter 4, where Paul says, preach the Word. So we're to continue in the Word, and we're to preach the Word, and we're to follow leaders that are teaching and preaching the Word, and that are living it in their lives as well. So you've learned it from your grandmother, from your mother, from me, Paul, and you've learned it from the time, verse 15, that you were a child. Now, that word child there actually could be translated baby. Yes, you were an infant. It's never too early to start talking to them about Jesus, praying for them, and teaching them. From the time you were a little child, you've known. What have you known? The Holy Scriptures. And those Holy Scriptures are able to do something. Make you wise to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So number one, the Scriptures are holy. The word holy means set apart. They mean they're sanctified. Now again, there's a lot that can be said, and I have to resist the temptation, but the Bible is unique. There is no other book in the same category, on the same par, at the same level, of the same nature as the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. The Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, they put their writings many times not only on an equal par, but on a position above the Bible. Pearl of Great Price, Doctrine of the Covenants, their own writings. Jehovah's Witnesses, they have their Awake magazines and the writings of their leaders. And you can't know the Bible unless you read their books. We're not afraid to just give you a Bible. You don't even have to listen to me preach. You can just take a Bible home and read it. Guess what it will do? It'll make you wise to salvation. You can come to know the Savior in the Bible. Amen? That's why when I stay in a hotel, I look in the drawer. Do they have a Gideon's Bible? If they don't, I complain to the manager. Get Gideon Bibles in your hotel or I won't stay in your hotel anymore. I say it nicely. Or if there's a Gideon Bible in the hotel, I thank the manager of the hotel. I tell him, thank you for having that Bible in that room. What will it do? It will lead you to the Savior. Now, let me mention something. The Bible alone, and it's just getting a knowledge of the Bible, won't save you. You can read the Bible, to use a figure of speech, till you're blue in the face, and it won't save you. unless you read the Bible and it brings you to faith in the Savior and you trust Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. So the purpose of the Bible, listen to me carefully, is not just to give you knowledge. It's to bring you to a Savior. It's to bring you to faith and trust in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Someone once said that the study of God's Word is not to just give us an enlightened intellect, it's to give us a transformed character. So if you're reading the Bible and you're just getting a big head and you got a lot of Bible information, that's fine, but if it doesn't bring you to the Savior, to trust in Him and be saved, it doesn't do you any good. So from Genesis to Revelation, all of Scripture is given for one grand purpose and design, to bring men and women to faith in Jesus Christ. So he says, you've known the Holy Scriptures, they give you wisdom, but it's a wisdom that leads you to salvation because you have faith in Christ Jesus. Now, notice that the faith is in Christ Jesus. It's not in man, it's not in a church. Your faith is not in the Bible, though we do believe the Bible to be God's Word. Our faith is in the God of the Bible, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, notice it says in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So what is he telling us here? He's telling us that all Scripture is given by God's very breath. Now, I can tell right now I'm not going to be able to really finish these verses and do them justice. But when it says all Scripture, people are sometimes quick to point out and say, well, you know, that was the Old Testament. Yes. But even at this time, some of the New Testament was already penned. Let me give you some verses. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18, Paul quotes Luke 10, and he refers to it as Scripture, or the Word of God. So evidently, Paul considered Luke's gospel and the statement made there as part of Scripture. And then here's the classic, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, Peter mentions the writings of Paul. And you know what he calls them? Scripture. So the apostle Peter recognized that Paul's writings were Scripture. So when Paul says to Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, he's talking about all of the Old Testament and all of the New Testament. He's talking about the whole Bible. So the Old Testament and the New Testament are given by inspiration of God. Amen? So we don't say, well, the Old is inspired, the New isn't, or the New is inspired and the Old is not. Now, what does that mean, inspiration of God? We believe the Bible is given by inspiration. Well, it's not inspiration like Shakespeare, or like someone who can write a song or paint a picture or write a poem. You know, I was inspired to do this work of art. It's not the kind of inspiration we're talking about. It's not dictation, it's inspiration. Let me give you my definition of what it means that the Scripture is given by inspiration. First of all, the word inspiration literally means breathed. So it's talking about the breath of God, and literally it means to breathe out. So it's given by God's breath. It's God breathing out. God breathed out the Scriptures. But I believe that inspiration is God superintending the human authors so that the very words they wrote were the words of God. God used their own personality. God used sometimes their own style. They were human authors. Some people say, well, how can you believe the Bible's the Word of God when it was written by men? Because human authors were superintended by God. Now, the Bible has a supernatural aspect, but it also has a human aspect. You know that Jesus Christ was both God and man? He was fully God and fully man in one person. You know the Bible has a dual nature? It's the Word of man and it's the Word of God. It was written by men and it was written by God. But the men were writing only as they were inspired by God. They were under the influence of God. They weren't superintended by God. So the very words they wrote were the words of God. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he was writing a thank you letter to them, but God was making sure that every word that he wrote were the very words that he wanted written down. And I also believe that the words themselves, not just the concepts, not just the ideas, but that the words themselves were inspired by God, and that they are profitable, that they are without error, that the Bible is inerrant, that the Bible is clear, and that the Bible, as we're going to see, is sufficient, and that the Bible is the final authority. All of that taken right out of this marvelous text. This is one of the great texts of Scripture about itself. So the Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, it's important to understand that the Bible is coming from God, and that God is a God of truth. God cannot lie. So the Bible has no errors in it. Whatever it speaks on, it speaks without error. On geography or on history, on names and individuals, there's been critics of the Bible that say, this person didn't live, that city didn't exist, and all we needed was the archaeologists to unearth a portion of earth, and there they found that this city existed, or a name on a coin. And over the years, as we continue in our archaeological digs, it has confirmed the Bible, never disproved the Bible. It has only made clear that God's Word is true. Archaeology has never disproved the Bible, but it has continuing to confirm the veracity and the historicity and the reliability and the dependableness of the Bible, the Word of God. I personally believe that there is nothing more important for you and me as an individual than to have a right view of Scripture. If your view of this book we call the Bible is askew or wrong, it's going to ruin your whole life. It will affect your whole life and maybe your eternity. It's so important for you to be firmly convinced in the knowledge of that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible, inspired Word of God. Every word is given by inspiration of God. Now notice what it's good for, verse 16. It's profitable, it's valuable, it's a good book for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the person that is following the Lord may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So not only is the Bible given by inspiration of God, it'll lead you to salvation, but it's profitable for doctrine. That is what is right. You want to know what's right? It's found in the Bible. It's good for reproof. You want to know what's wrong? You'll find it in the Bible. You want to know how to get it right? Correction? It's in the Bible. You want to know how to stay right and live right? Instruction in righteousness. So the Bible is good for what is right, what is wrong, how to get right, and how to stay right. It's good for all that. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And then it's necessary and sufficient to equip us for ministry. Notice verse 17, that the man of God or the individual believer may be perfect. Now that doesn't mean that you will be sinlessly perfect. It means that you will be complete. It carries the idea of mature, having no deficiencies, and that you will be equipped to do good works. I don't believe that you as a Christian can be adequately grow or mature as a Christian apart from God's Word. Nor can you be equipped and ready to serve the Lord and to be used by God unless you are equipped and knowledgeable of God's Word.
In today's message, Pastor John emphasized how important it is that you know the Bible. He's talked about this before, but today he revealed how this book is key to your faith. If you don't know what's in it, how can you tell others? The Bible reveals all you need to know about God's character, about how you need to live as His follower, and how you came to faith in the first place. Spend time in the Word and let it influence your life.
Thanks so much for joining us today for this edition of Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller. For most of us, social media is a part of our daily routines. I know I check my feeds countless times each day. We want to encourage you to check out our Facebook page, Twitter feed, and Instagram page. All the links are in the top right corner of revival.tv.
When you join Pastor John next time on Revival Radio, he'll begin to share the final words of the Apostle Paul that we have written down. This final chapter of 2 Timothy will reveal Paul's primary message to Timothy, what he deeply desired the younger man to grasp. Paul had so much to teach, but he knew his time was short. These final words can be a charge in your own life too, no matter what form your ministry takes. That's all we have for today. Thanks for joining us for Revival Radio.